Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 61. I'm Joe, and that guy over there is JJ, and we're going to talk about news of the week that just was. And I think we even have, well, we went through the couch, and we're looking for change. And I think we found a bit of CSUN audio still in between those couches.
I thought we were done with this stuff.
Yeah.
Turns out there's one more that Shelly did interviewing ZoomX that did not make our feed. So, you know, we'll just plug it in right here. So why not? You know, we're going to do that.
I like that. That means that this show is actually sponsored by
AFB.
What hell?
The American Foundation for the Blind. So thank you so much. They sponsored our CSUN interview coverage. And we do really appreciate that. I got a tip coming up a little bit later on. If you haven't played with the Chicken Nugget OCR feature yet, I will show you how that works. It's really cool. And you can, there's a lot of things on Twitter that I never realized were text that I just assumed were images. But actually, it's text. So,
wow. You can do a lot with that. A lot of people are talking about the new Twitterific, by the way. I don't have it here in the lineup, but Applebiz had some great demonstrations of the new app for iOS.
Oh, yes.
Which is working like extremely well. I don't use that client. I actually use the Twitter for iOS official.
You should switch, I think. I mean, it's one of those that put a lot of accessibility stuff into it. So we'll definitely we'll talk a little bit about that if we get to it. We are going to talk about new Twitter stuff, lots of other stuff as well, and Windows 95, somewhere where you may not expect it. And I don't know, what do you have there?
Motivation. It's something very motivating for you.
I just see this. Yeah, okay, the birthday thing.
We'll get to that in the last word.
All right.
But it seems like we have some breaking news right here at the top of the news pile. So I don't even know about this. You're explaining it to me as well as our listeners.
I don't know too much, but here's what we have. Let's just roll this clip here.
Please listen to this entire message as our menu has changed. Thank you for calling VFO, home to the Freedom Scientific and Optilec brands, two leading worldwide providers of assistive technology products such as JAWS screen reader, Ruby handheld magnifier, and the innovative ClearView C desktop magnifier. Yeah.
So that happens when you call 1-800-444-4443 or the old Optilec number, which I don't even remember, which doesn't matter because it doesn't matter anymore. That all goes now to VFO.
Okay, I get the F might stand for
freedom.
Freedom. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know there are a lot of people actually filling in the letter there. I'm sorry. But O is for Optilec. Again, feel free to stick in your own word.
Right. If you would like. And the V should be, I'm guessing the V is pretty simple too. Name a company that bought this. The name of the company that bought.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's company. My guess. That they Vector Capital. Hmm. I mean, what else would it be? What else would it be?
Velocity.
Velociraptor.
Yes. Virtual, as in the company is. No. That is. Wow.
Do we read into. Now, I mean, there's things are going to start being combined.
Blatant speculation, as Shelley would say.
Now, they mentioned JAWS, Ruby, and the ClearView. Do you read into that at all, especially on the magnifier side?
Okay, so JAWS naturally because screen reader and it's a part of the whole turnkey operation because now Optilec has a screen reader and great braille and on and on, right?
And they didn't have their own screen reader. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
I'm going to say that because it just came out, Ruby is a name that they like and they're going to use because they just released that 7. And the handheld 5 inches are still pretty popular. That's interesting though because the Compact just also had some updates not too long ago. And then ClearView makes a lot of sense. To be honest with you, the ClearViews are known in the desktop world a little more than the Topazes. No offense to anybody who has
a apparently Topaz. One of the ClearViews got a big VA contract.
Yeah.
So that ain't going away. And, as one person put it to me, you know what? There's a lot of current stock. And what, you know, you kind of think about, okay, there's already parts for a lot of stuff already out there. Maybe it's when next time they go to refresh the magnifiers, that's when they kill it. If they just release new Compacts, they just release new, you know, Topazes,
and that was my thing about the Ruby at CSUN, and I said that to Shelly was that that was already there. The injection molding was good to go. They had already had it in the pipeline, and you're gonna write out stock. I mean, what you don't hear in all of that is, sadly, the Ace or anything about the products that were formerly of the
ABIC.
Yeah.
Do they want, yeah, was there just some intellectual property they wanted from that? I don't know. I mean, and for anyone listening, this is all just speculation. We know nothing more than you do.
No idea.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to keep the Freedom stuff, the Optilec stuff, and the ABIC stuff, especially low vision. Although there is some differences. The ABIC all-in-ones have a lot of similarities to the Sarahs.
Oh, and some people would say they're better. A lot of people say they're better. They had those standalones.
Right. In the Pearl. The Pearl was a software base. I mean, you had to use it with it. You couldn't just use it on its own.
Yeah.
Can you still buy the ABIC stuff?
I know that some people have last year, but I heard speculations about support.
Their website's still there. Okay. Same phone number. Right there on the top, 800-444. And again, maybe it's as long as they have stock. So they're still have their own website.
Well, that's interesting. And certainly branding before summer convention. So we'll have probably a better idea as we get closer. And at the time of this recording, that is less than 60 days away.
Thanks for that lovely reminder. I really, really appreciate it. You know, whatever. It's coming up. But it will be an interesting booth. Maybe they'll spy their entire, you know, Freedom already had a big booth, a convention, like 8 or 9 tables. Maybe it'll just have like the entire like A square. No, they wouldn't have. A square might want the A square.
I was going to say, wait a minute. We're getting into shapes here. That might be a bit of a problem.
I'm surprised AI square doesn't go for the AI square.
AI squared square?
Yeah. Well, might as well switch. You know, now that I already did this, I wasn't intending to. Which just switched up the news lineup on you. New Zoom text. Speaking of AI
square. Yeah, there is an update to Zoom text. There were two, actually. One that came out in March that added multi-monitor support, not dual monitor support, but multi-monitor support.
What's the difference? Okay, I have no idea. Okay,
so dual monitor would be just two monitors, say your laptop and a big screen, like if you're doing a projector. Multi-monitor could be more than two monitors, say three, and that can happen in the case of, say, insurance adjustment or accounting or people who are doing real-time graphics rendering. So if they're going to do that and look at an area and then manipulate an area, maybe make notes on an area, so they could actually see various points of a large monitor or multi-monitors, meaning that they would have more than one on their desk, to be able to see multiple magnifications at one time. So that's kind of huge, actually.
And that was in March, right? Okay.
That was in March. In April came along Office 2016 enhancements. So some updates for Office 2016, which is going to be very popular. And to be fair, you're going to be seeing a lot of updates from a lot of companies as we get closer to July when Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, because there seems to be some things coming down the pike. I was actually just updated my Surface Pro 2 to the latest Insider build and was playing around with the new Narrator. There is going to be some big changes coming to Windows 10 for those who are not running the Insider builds by probably July.
Well, it's good to see all this, especially the Office 2016 stuff. That is, I'm still running Office 2007, which I'm not even sure if it's supported anymore, and I probably should upgrade that. But
yeah,
in part it was because screen readers and magnifiers both are a little slow to get to Office 2016 compared to, you know, Windows 10, which was supported on the day of release. Office 2016, there was a bit of a catch up and some back and forth. So as that solidifies, because I didn't want to upgrade now to Office 13, it made no sense. I'm going to buy a new version of Office. I want to buy the new version of Office, right? So
absolutely. And for full disclosure, I am a contract player with AI Squared. If you want to know more, head on over to the AI Squared website. They have tons of videos that are available to be able to see some of this stuff in demonstration mode. There's also webinars going on. So if you are interested, there's some information over at the website. Now, if you were maybe, I don't know, thinking about taking an Uberwolf. No, wait, just Uber.
No, just regular.
Just regular Uber. There has been some settlements involved here to some of the things that are going on. Now, Uber's had a lot of things happen to them in the last week and a half. They have had some issues in New York resolved and then some issues in New York pick up again. So there was like 1,000 drivers that are trying to form a union.
And they just gave them all pizza.
Yeah, I saw that where they were trying to buy off people with pizza. New York seems to be the battleground for Uber, but that's not what we're talking about here. In this case, we're talking about Uber and the NFB.
This goes back to, you know, this is kind of an ongoing thing. There's been ongoing negotiations, especially on the guide dog issue. That's the biggest one that this settlement deals with. And Uber has decided, the settlement says that they're going to pay for, now, they're paying the NFP $225,000 or whatever it is. And someone, one of the comments, like, oh, NFPs is getting more money. No, that money is going to pay the legal fees. There's no, I mean, that's how much legal costs there was in a settlement like that. So it's not like it's a cash grab. What that does do is kind of enable some sort of a settlement which says Uber is going to strengthen Google. Their...
I like that.
They're going to strengthen their policies with service animals, they say, and there's going to be spot checks to see how that's happening. Now, we put this up on our site, and I'm also looking at, you know, there's been previous policies. It's not like it's a new policy for Uber. So I wonder how this differs or if it's stronger than what's been done in the past and how, you know, in the past there's been policies that said, and drivers have been emailed that say, you know, if they can't take service animals, they will be taken off the system. That's not a new idea. Now, maybe it gets stronger now. Maybe it's because they have to actually click a box that says, I agree to the service animal policy, and then they have no excuse to say they didn't know about it. I see that as a potential difference. The spot checks are a potential difference. I don't know what else this changes. I mean, is there, you know, I guess there's going to be an easier way for users to contact someone if they have an issue, I guess, as well.
Maybe that's that 1-800 number we were talking about earlier this year. I'm also concerned about the thing that they're experimenting with, which is to charge somebody a fee if the Uber driver has to wait 2 minutes for you to come outside and connect.
Especially that in bigger cities, where it's hard to find the driver.
Right. Or if you don't text the driver what you're wearing or where you're standing. Ricky and I had an issue where we were at the airport where we had actually texted the driver to say what we looked like, what clothes we were wearing, and that helped that driver hugely. But if they had missed us and then you get the Ubers arriving, but he had to make like a circle to come back to you, do you get charged? Who's in charge of that? Does the driver hit the button? Does Uber hit the button? That bothers me a great deal, even more a bit than the guide dog issue. At least the guide dog issue, I think we can sort of, you know, work around and have a discussion about.
I guess it depends who you are.
This is kind of a gray area here.
To me, if you're a guide dog owner, that issue probably bothers you more. But the fact is, there's certainly lots of different possible issues. Well, one
could compile
issues
upon the other, so it could be both of them could get you.
And the same thing. So, I mean, there's definitely, you know, I don't think, I'm glad to see the negotiations. I'm glad to see the progress. It's something we definitely need to be doing. Let's see where this takes us in the future.
And there was a thing I saw this morning before we came into the studio saying that Uber is considering getting rid of surge pricing and going up a little bit on their prices.
Drivers aren't really liking that.
No, I would imagine not. But most things that usually do help the customer usually do not work out for the person who is working for the company. That goes back to my days in retail, to be honest with you.
Lots of talk on Twitter about all this Uber stuff going on, of course. Lots of talk on Twitter about Twitter.
Really? Oh, my gosh, really? Oh, no, what can I do to read Twitter, though? I mean, I'm looking for something to read Twitter with a bit better. You know, I remember we had somebody on the show not too long ago. Oh, yeah, Christopher Toth.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the remote stuff, wasn't it?
I do believe so. And accessible apps. And accessible apps has an update to that vulnerable Twitter client chicken nugget that people are really digging because of the OCR functionality. Now, have you had a chance to play with this?
Yes.
Explain to me.
So there's lots of things that you may not think are images that are images. Those t.co links is what they generally are. So generally, if you see one attached to a tweet, you think, oh, that's just a picture. Turns out a lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's screenshots. For my baseball teams, it's a lineup card. So there's actually a lot of usefulness in these pictures. And a lot of times they're just pictures of text. So now you can hit a hotkey, Alt, Windows O, what happens to be on Windows 10, and you can get that OCR goodness done.
I could have read those texts that came up during the NFL draft. That would have been helpful. That poor guy.
Horrible for him. You can read all that stuff. So it's very useful. And some of the other, I mean, there's certainly now the alt text thing is not there yet. He said he's working on it. So that's not there yet.
Like that it's there for third parties, though. That is a good thing because that was something you speculated about earlier, was that you were hoping that it would be that way.
Yeah, it's there. And you can upload pictures now with latest nuggets. So that's useful. But you cannot post the alt text yet. But oh, that should be coming. You can like, now it's like tweets instead of favorites. So that's, there's a hotkey for that. That's new. Just a other, bunch of other random, lots of stability.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk this week about Twitter being Twitter, but not growing, and is Twitter dying? And I haven't heard any more to that rumor that Google was going to buy them. This time last year, that was a big time rumor that was going around through the tech sector. But it does seem like people are sharing in different ways, and that's throwing some of the algorithms for Facebook and Twitter. Facebook went live with their record video / use a camera app to match Periscope. And there's already, you know, like YouTube stars, there's already like Facebook stars. Imagine that. And Facebook is having an issue with people sharing, that people don't share as much as they used to. And their whole algorithm is sort of based off of what shares. So it can go to
share the most, what's liked the most, what's reacted to the most.
Well, that is a bit of a problem, because if you don't share these things, if you don't have good communication, you might have trouble on the dating scene. There's another story about dating this week, huh?
It's our survey of the week on Blind Bargains. This is coming from us, to us from the University of Washington. They are looking for people with disabilities and people without disabilities, and doing a quick little survey about your experiences online dating. So if that's you, we have the info. And yes, it's our Blind Bargains survey of the week, a feature that we have about every other week, which makes no sense.
Goes all the way back to 2006 when there was a demonstration of eHarmony with Jaws Friday morning at 8 o'clock, which was perfect for all the single people who were possibly at CSUN at the time. That was a great.
Oh, that was at CSUN?
That was CSUN in Los Angeles.
I was just thinking 8 o'clock in the morning, is because most of your single people are probably all hungover or whatever.
That's why I was saying, you know, they're going to come to this thing. That makes very little.
Did you go to that, Joe? How did that session go there, Joe?
I read about the session. I was I was hungover, and there was a lot of stuff going on back then that you could be able to pass and share that around with. But I'm not sure why it would be better to be 74 on Facebook. It's certainly something I might read about.
Escott, he's the one that did that headline. We were having fun with the Uber headlines and kind of going around. He didn't take my...
Your Uber barking tree one was really good.
That was good. That was Scott.
The original idea
I threw was something about NFB has agreed to give Uber drivers a shorter leash.
Oh, I like that one too.
Yeah, so there was a lot of options there. This is kind of a clickbait headline. Gotta love those. No, it's referring to the version of Facebook on Android. You know, they're up to version 74.
That is strange.
That's higher than Firefox and Chrome and everything else. But if you have that latest version of Facebook on Android, now you do indeed have the wonderful image descriptions that everyone's been talking about. So they are there on your Android. Now they're not on the web yet. They are on Android.
You could be using it with the new TalkBack, which is now official. That also was released in the last week.
Yes. So TalkBack 4.5 is out now. We've talked about that on a couple of previous shows. But it is now official. Not much changed from the beta, except for some bug
fixes.
No, it
seems like a couple of features were held back. I remember rereading the release notes and saying, oh, wow, they're holding that back, and that's holding back for another release, or this didn't make that release.
I didn't notice. I'm not sure, maybe, but I didn't notice anything specifically. Everything, all the web stuff is there. The tutorial is there. The new keyboard layout is there. So
it's weird to hear some of the verbosity, like reading in list. Or when it's in an edit field, it kind of pauses a little differently depending on the type of edit field. It's strange because there's so much muscle memory involved with Android.
In list, out of list, in grid, out of grid. Yeah, some of that, although some of that is all right, you know, tab selected, and you have some heading notifications and things like that. And so that
Ricky was thrilled about headings. That was a big thing for her.
Yes, headings are there, especially on the web, a little bit in apps, not as much as on the iPhone, but you can't navigate by them without the web. But at least they're... There's some more context. You can kind of get an idea. What is this random piece of text?
Didn't your default used to be flick up and down for granularity and the like, and now that's kind of sort of how it is out of the box?
Yeah, but a lot of people were making that change, and I think they just realized that everyone was making that change. It's finally like, why do we have two gestures for next and previous item? Finally, that has been fixed, so it's now up and down. And this is similar to a lot of other apps that do it this way. Right and left arrow goes by the element that you have selected, and up and down arrow changes the element or the granularity. And by granularity, it's just like paragraphs, words, characters, headings, links, default. whatever. Yeah.
And Chrome has been updated. The web view's been updated. So there's a lot of stuff going on in Android world. In fact, there has been some talk that the Android store is pretty much going to show up on Chrome through Play. And there were a bunch of articles
about that. That is really interesting. We'll definitely follow that. And with iOS coming up in a few weeks,
before IO.
We will. That's coming up this month. So we will have that a little bit later on. It's in San Francisco. This last story is from Thailand. Touchable Ink. Did you see this story?
I saw this story, but I didn't read too much on it. I saw that this was out and people were saying this is a unique way of looking at things. Sina, Pratik, and others.
It sounds to me, you know, it's raised ink that can be raised enough that you could feel it. It sounds to me like automatically printed puff paint.
Yeah, I mean, it does have that feeling to it. That would
be, I mean, for doing maps and things,
at least that's the way I read it.
No pun intended. Uh-huh. But I mean, the way it goes, I mean, to be able to print on a printer, using raised graphics of some sort as opposed to Braille. I mean, that's what this is about. It's some researchers that have apparently they did this with a map and it works.
Weird.
I'm not, if you look at laser printers, if they print strong enough, you can feel the lines on the page, right? You get to feel pretty hard, but you can feel, you can tell if something printed.
Some of the large print embossed checks can be like that. If you ever used checks from the bank, you could actually do that, where you could feel the edit fields to write things into.
So I think it's kind of like this, but maybe a little more extreme. So it'd be kind of interesting to see a sample of this. I love in the article. Of course, they make a mention that this is not the only recent innovation for people who are blind or visually impaired. Facebook has really recently enabled labeling. Like, oh,
if you like this article, you might also like to read. Yeah, it's everywhere. That's the, I need to fill out my 1,500 words in order to submit this article line.
It's everywhere.
I know that line well. That can be a bit of a thing that I've also saw Orbit Research had another round of press for their Braille display. HumanWare released the Touch officially, that's launched. So there was a lot of press going around for that. We've covered those, so it's in our CSUN.
Can we have other these companies, can we like spread the news out? Because last week we had nothing, exactly. And this week we have a nice pile. We could have moved two or three of these to last week. Would have been fine.
Last week, there may have been some metal scraping on the bottom of the barrel.
It's okay.
One or two.
It's okay. Speaking of last week, by the way, before we go to the break, I was at the Michigan AER conference and we're showing off some of the newer AT Guys things. And I've mentioned this on the show before, but a lot of people loving these new tactile screenshots that we have for the iPhone. They're from a company called iHabilitation Canada, and they're called Feel and See screenshots. So what they essentially are graphical representations of the screen. So the home screen, the settings screen, the lock screen, anything else. And there's over 30 of them for iPhone and iPad. So it's a really interesting way for new users to kind of, you know, you could swipe all day on your iPhone, but you can do a lot more by understanding how are all these screens laid out? How are the icons laid out in reference to each other? You can actually be a lot more efficient if you know, like, oh, the tabs are on the bottom and this is in the top left corner of this screen. So, you know, especially if you're someone who can learn, if you did well with Braille maps growing up, or if you did well with just kind of looking at screenshots or looking at graphics, this might be something you would think about. If you're a trainer, this could be a really interesting tool for you to try out and see if it works with your students. So we have it in the Braille and large print version, which is pretty much the Braille with large print over top of it. So a blind person could read it and a sighted person could, you know, look over your shoulder, I guess, if you wanted to. That's $30. You can get just the Braille for $25 or just the large print for $20. And they are over at our website at atguys.com, or you can call us up at 269-216-4798.
Well, here comes that interview from CSUN that we had just between the couch cushions that
were lying around.
You bet. And then we'll come back with feedback, tip, and of course, sound off, all here on Blind Bargains episode 61.
Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2016, bringing you the latest from the largest conference on technology and disabilities in the world. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's Shelley Brisbane.
I'm here with Jeff Gardner from IRAAT and Zoomax to talk about handheld magnifiers. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Having a good show so far?
Absolutely. It's always fun to be out at CSUN.
Terrific. Well, you have some new handheld magnifiers to tell us about. They're products of Zoomax. And tell us a little bit about the relationship between Zoomax and IRAAT.
Well, IRAAT is the national distributor here in the U.S. for Zoomax. And we've also worked with the company. It's a company that's committed to making sure that they take care of the U.S. customers. So we've actually put a headquarters here for Zoomax to make sure that we can give local repair support and all the type of infrastructure you would expect from an American company.
Great. So tell us about your new 5-inch magnifier. What's the product called, and what differentiates it from the rest of the products in the Zoomax line?
All right. Well, we have the new Zoomax M5. And it's a 5-inch handheld unit, and it is we're calling it a 2HD that has HD cameras and HD screen. It actually has two cameras, so it has one for distance, one for close. Make sure you always get the best image possible, and for those who have seen it are probably pretty happy with what they saw. The other thing that's great about it is, being that it's a touchscreen unit, we can do things like easy panning when you want to freeze an image and you want to actually see the entire image. It's helpful to have panning. But a lot of times what we see is the touchscreen ones get so complex because people try to put so much stuff on them that elderly people sometimes have difficulty, or people who just aren't as handy with technology. Whereas this unit, the touchscreen will allow you to use some of the advanced features, but if you just want to use it as a standard handheld magnifier, it does all those things with buttons. It really doesn't require you to use the screen other than to change the contrast unless you get into the advanced features.
Now, having two cameras on a handheld is pretty unusual, isn't it? Don't people typically have the camera turned in such a way that it can also do distance viewing if the device supports it?
Yeah, and you'll notice that the distance view isn't as good. So we decided not to sacrifice quality and just put another camera on it so that we'd have a really excellent distance view.
How does that change the way the product behaves? In other words, is it heavier? Is it more costly? Or what either compromises or what opportunities did having two cameras give you?
Well, obviously, it's more costly to have another camera, but as is our usual style, we are less in price than everybody else with the same quality or better. So the product is selling for $859 retail, which is less than other 5-inch handhelds out there that don't have anywhere near the features.
I want to ask you about the advanced features, but first, some of the basics. What zoom range do you support for the close view camera?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me things like that. I think I'm going to have to ask somebody. John, it's 2 to 18 on the M5 to 16.
How about on the distance camera?
I believe it's the same.
Are they the same camera? Or?
No. Optimally, you're talking about 10 feet, depending on how big what you're looking at is. So if it's large written text, of course, you can be further back. But if it's something small, 10 feet is about optimal.
So tell me some of the advanced features you were mentioning that are part of this unit.
Well, I mean, the main thing I think that you get out of having the touchscreen is the ability to pan images. And nothing's going to frustrate you more than pulling out a pill bottle or something and trying to see what says on there, and all you can see is the middle of the image when you blow it up. So then being able to just take your finger and easily swipe it around and look at the full image at any magnification level is really useful. You know, additionally, one thing that always frustrates me is, you know, there's a simplified mode on a lot of these things, or you might have 27 different contrast modes. Oh, shoot, you know, I get frustrated. I hit the button, and then I miss the one that I want. So I have to cycle through all the contrast modes all over again. But that's one of the things that we put on the touchscreen. So you swipe your finger on it one direction, and you go toward the contrast options in that direction. You miss the one that you want, you swipe it in the other direction, and you'll go backwards. So it makes it a lot easier to navigate the contrast features.
Does your touchscreen have gestures that, say, a smartphone user might be familiar with, like pinch to zoom and other gestures of that kind, or are you just interacting with buttons on the touchscreen?
Actually, that's one thing that throws people off a little bit, but I'm pretty happy with is that the magnification is going to occur with touches of buttons. So it's going to be really familiar to...
Hardware buttons, not touchscreen
buttons. Hardware buttons. So, yeah, you're not going to pinch and squeeze and do all that kind of stuff. And It was a conscious choice to look at that and say, okay, this is something that's a familiar way to use a device. It's a nice continuous zoom. I don't feel like you're losing anything from it, and you definitely don't lose the people that just don't know how to use touchscreens and aren't familiar with that stuff.
Let's talk about some of the common magnifier features that people are used to seeing, like different color modes, and do you do any sort of image storage or saving? What options do people have?
Yeah, you can save images, and then, you know, the contrast, the different color modes, those are all controlled in the way that I was describing before, where you just swipe the screen one way or the other, however you want to get to them. And I don't know how many there are now.
Lots of them?
There's more than you need.
and just for people's understanding, if they've seen 5-inch magnifiers, the sort of form factor is going to be familiar, where you have like a stand and the magnifier is at a 45-degree angle. Mm-hmm. Is there anything unusual or different about the hardware of this product? You mentioned the second camera.
The second camera is definitely something. I think also just looking at a nice, sleek, modern-looking design. A lot of these are going to kids that are in schools and don't want to appear different. So have something that looks really cool. And also to just sort of take
an aluminum finish. You know,
isn't that nice looking?
That is attractive.
It's very skinny.
To hold it feels like a slightly fatter smartphone.
Yeah, that's the idea. As big as a screen can be, but then make it flat and something that almost can go in your pocket.
What about battery life?
Battery life's about 4 hours. That's pretty standard.
Charge with a USB.
And the thing that I like about this is the Snow 7 is probably our best known product, and it has a great distance view too. But in order to get into it, as with almost every, I think all distance views, you have to flip a switch or do something with it. And in the case of Snow 7, you have to flip a switch. With the M5, they built some of the intuitive things in there. So, and I have a reading stand that pops out of it to put it at the 45-degree reading angle. When it's out, it knows I want to read on the desk, so it gives me that camera. When I close it, which you can hear that snap when I close it, then I'm looking at distance, and it just switches for me automatically.
Oh, that's smart. What else do I need to know about the M5 that we haven't talked about?
Oh, I think really the only other thing to say there is that we have a 4.3, the Snow, and that's a standard definition. And so we're feeling like we need to augment that category a little bit. So we'll be coming out soon with the Snow S, which will be pretty much exactly like the Snow, only with an HD camera, HD screen, and a 4.7-inch screen versus a 4.3. So it's a little bit of new stuff in that category to augment what we've already got.
Okay. And to be clear, the M5 is HD cameras and screen, both.
Yep.
Right. Let me ask you just a question I like to ask people who have HD products in the low vision space. What does it mean to your customers to have HD support? Because when people think of HD, they often think of the aesthetics of viewing a crisp television screen, a large screen, and they're fully sighted. But for a low vision person, I'm wondering what you think the significance of having HD screens, I guess, would be.
Well, I mean, the more clear the image, the easier it is to read. I think additionally, you have some other things there. There's a lot of people that use their machines not just for reading, but for hobbies and things where you may need to look at minute details that wouldn't show up otherwise. But I think it's just pretty much, there was a lot of talk about it when HD came in. It's like, well, do low vision people even notice the difference? And I, from what I've seen, I think they do notice the difference, and HD, the more clear the image, the better they can view it. So.
And I'm assuming that there are more cameras and displays available in the HD space, so you're able to provide products at similar prices to what SD products might have been a few years ago. Would that be fair?
Well, yeah. I mean, as the technology moves forward, we can use more of it for prices that people can afford. Additionally, ZoomX has developed their own HD camera, which is one reason that our desktop units are so much more affordable than most others.
Oh, that's interesting. You did your own camera. Okay. And is that camera in all of your devices?
At this point, I believe it's in three of the devices.
So you have something new on the desktop front as well. Tell me about that.
All right. Well, we're showing today a prototype of the new Aurora HD Speech, which is based off of our Aurora 24-inch HD desktop unit. And this is one of the few desktop style, old school with the tray and all that stuff, that has a full page OCR on it. We're not getting a partial page. We get a full page OCR. And I don't have a confirmed price on this yet, but what we're looking at is probably going to be about $1,000 less than probably the most popular one that sold desktop.
That would be impressive. And you're comparing that to another desktop unit that has speech and OCR, pretty if not full page OCR,
yeah.
Pretty high functioning OCR.
Yeah, there's only another one that I saw here that someone's introducing today. So I was going to say we're one of two, I believe, but now we're one of three at least. But I think people are recognizing that there's still a demand for the traditional desktop model, and a lot of people are really comfortable with that. And there's OCR is the wave of the future. Everybody's got to have that. So to put those two things together, in our case, we had to put another camera on it and do some things to give it that full page. But we're still able to deliver that at a price that's significantly less. We're hoping we'll go for a price of about $29.95 on that.
So you have a camera that's dedicated to the OCR function, which I know some other vendors do, yeah?
Right.
So the desktop unit itself remains the same, and you've added the OCR camera and the software to make it go. Now, did you have OCR at all on your previous on the desktop unit before?
No, this is our first venture into OCR, and we'll be putting it on more things and on future models as well. But at this point, this is our first TTS model.
When will this product be available?
We're shooting for delivery in the U.S. In May of this year.
Okay, sounds good. And are you showing a prototype at the show, I assume?
Yeah, we do have one here at CSUN.
Response been pretty good?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, it's just getting to be kind of expected that you have OCR. People can rest their eyes, take all the advantages out of that. So it's kind of nice to be able to show that. And we finally got it. We're in that game now.
Great. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with me for Blind Bargains, and best of luck for the rest of CSUN.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Shelley.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
Earlier we mentioned Chicken Nugget's new OCR feature for tweets. And some of you might be thinking, OCR for tweets? Tweets is text. Why do we need OCR? Well, if you may not know, there's lots of tweets that happen to have pictures attached. And these aren't always pictures. In fact, a lot of times pictures just are text or pictures that have a lot of text in them. So I'm in Chicken Nugget 4. And I have a tweet here.
Android Police, Spotify buys concert photo and video aggregator Crowd Album http://w.
And there's a tweet about some new app or Crowd Album or whatever this is. I'm not really sure what this is. And you know what? The picture might give me a bit of a clue. So I'm going to press Alt-Win-O in Windows 10. At least that's the hotkey. And let's see what we get.
Extracting text. OCR results dialog. Text edit multi-line read only. Crowd Album. Great social photos shared from the world's events. Bradley Gibbert with Michael Ray and Cannon Smith. Blank.
Well, that's kind of interesting. So it looks like a bit of a screenshot or something advertising the app, but it actually tells me a lot more about the app. Now, here's another example where this could come in really handy. Let's go to this tweet right here.
Email holidays. Spotted this sign in the shop and number. See houses number. Northumberland number. Funny number. Quality of day number. Quadrant. https://.
Spotted this sign. Well, you know what? Without being able to see the picture of the sign, we have no idea, and we just have to move on to the next tweet. Well, we can again do the OCR and see what happens.
Extracting text. OCR results dialog. Text edit multi-line read only. Some people just need a high five in the head with a chair. Blank.
Some people just need a high five in the head with a chair. The wisdom of Twitter, now accessible to us as well. Chicken Nugget is available for Windows and available from accessible apps for $15. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Ricky was on episode 60 talking about the ID Mate Galaxy with me, and we may have been a little too exuberant in how he explains one of the features. Matt from Florida wrote in and explains pretty much that's not exactly how the sharing thing works with InVision. He goes on to say in his email the correct way to approach the sharing way that it works with the Galaxy and Quest and others, and that it's information that is shared with InVision that can then be updated by them. He also has a real detailed way of explaining what is going on with the Schwann's products. In case you don't know, that's a truck that rolls around through your neighborhood and has all sorts of goodness inside its frozen innards, like ice cream and burritos and pizzas. Anyway, that's my shopping list. And some of those UPC codes have been difficult for the later InVision products to read, but his old ID Mate 2 reads them just fine, and he speculates on what that might possibly be down to. So some information there. He is a big fan of the units, so are we, but if you want to know more and get an idea of what these products can and can't do in some situations, definitely read our comment from Matt from Florida. Thank you for sending that in over at blindbargains.com. Let me say that we love to be right, and Matt pretty much explains why we say that often. He does give us some great information there.
Thank you so much, Matt. Stanley also writing in also on the barcode scanners. He said, I thoroughly enjoyed Joe and Ricky's review of the ID Mate Galaxy. Although I do have the Quantum barcode scanner, so by AT guys, I was sold by the portability aspect. I purchased the using their easy payment plan. And he was just saying, I figured I'd drop in and post a comment. Now, let me address this a little bit. I'd be happy. So we get some calls about this here and there. We have the Quantum, which is a not portable. It's a USB based. And there, of course, is the Galaxy and the Quest. So we get some, you know, what's the difference between the two? Well, the Quantum, as he says, is computer based at the moment. So the difference in price largely has to do with the portability. So $149 tied to your computer, or what is it, about $1,200 for the portability. Now, for a lot of people, that portability is huge. And, you know, running around the house or running around your neighborhood, that's the big sell for the Galaxy and Quest and all the ones previous to it. So that's probably the biggest. The database sources are very similar when it comes to food items and things like that. There's some things that you'll find in one that you won't find in the other. The Quantum does have a link in with Amazon. So things like books, if you're into books and CDs and DVDs and stuff, the Quantum may do a little better job there. Schwann's is an interesting thing because I spent a lot of time researching, you know, ordering Schwann's products just so I could try to figure out the barcode system. Absolutely. It was a great excuse to order Schwann's products.
It was all in the name of business, of course.
I should have done a text right off of that. Yeah. Yeah, but I understand. I mean, we were trying the same thing, and those codes are weird. They're not, I don't get why they're not using regular barcodes, why they don't feel they have to.
To their own kind of database or whatever they had.
Yeah, you know, the way they not, did it. I've written them too, and you just got a nice little runaround. Like, oh, we like this little data or whatever. Yeah, their product numbers don't match their codes. Oh, by the way, whenever you find a Schwann's product you like, they'll get rid of it. It's just
indubitably. Except for like the old English toffee bars, which seem to have survived for 30 something years.
The boneless buffalo chicken bites, gone. The toast switch sandwiches, the bacon, egg, and cheese, gone. The ham and cheese pouches, gone.
Yep.
So you know what?
Yeah, I had my favorite burritos got replaced for a while, and then they kind of sort of went back. But it is just, they do have an amazing array of stuff. So if you are interested in, and you don't necessarily have Uber, or you don't have E24 or Grubhub, you know, but you still want food to come to you and not from Omaha Steaks. This is,
I love how we turn option. The. Well, you're right. I need to order Omaha Steaks and see how their barcode.
Well, right, for the
so
show.
I just need, so that's what I need. I need to order every single one of these online, you know, Omaha Steaks, Kansas City Steaks.
Just to see how that New went. England and for Lobster, the accessibility. Right.
Right. Just, and this is see how the stuff barcodes offer.
Right.
Good idea,
all for
Joe.
The good of the show. For you, our dear listeners, we would
we'll get on
fall
that.
On that frozen popsicle sword. That's just how that happens. I do understand what they're saying. Also, you could use a laptop. Don't forget, you're not necessarily locked into a desktop. If you have a portable computer that you could definitely take into, you know, a kitchen area. Some people have done that, and some people like that because they can type their notes in faster. So there is a, you know, market for everything.
The Quantum, people have hooked it up to their Braille note, their PacMate back when it was a thing. Or, you know, I think we had someone hook it up to a Level Star icon. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, it's doable because of USB. Well, not, by the way, I will save you the money. It does not get powered by the iPad camera kit thing.
Oh.
Not enough power. It will say this device requires too much power.
I do need to get one of those. It's like $29 or $39.
Oh, no. Like, I mean, I'll sell you I'll give you the $5 knockoff version. I'll throw it in the mail for you.
Yeah. I saw there was the real version at the Apple store.
It may work better, but
it might. It might be very interesting to see, because there's rumors going around, you know, Jay, as long as we're talking about rumors on the internet, the iPhone 7 has a 3.5 headphone jack. It might be true.
I was so hoping for all these iPhone users to come over to Android because of the headphone jack. So
I know.
We won't know for another couple months.
It's almost as good as the articles that went around about 1 year in for the Apple Watch and was it a failure or not. But, these things happen. The same way that you might need to set yourself an alarm in the last word to keep yourself motivated and looking forward to things like, I don't know, the iPhone 7 launch in September. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, star of Stage and Screen, all right, Ring and Screen, has released a motivational app to wake you up in the morning. You can set it for the Dwayne The Rock Johnson's time of 3:50 a.m. if you like, if you want to get up with The Rock. Okay, maybe not. And you can set it to do certain project management. There is some lovely voice work I've heard demonstrated.
I hear there's no snooze.
There is no snooze because The Rock never sleeps. Honestly, he's just laying there waiting.
Then why do you need an alarm?
He needs an alarm to keep himself on his task and on his goal. And that is it. You can actually set
a larger motivation. So it's not a wake up alarm. It's just a, okay.
Well, I mean, really, honestly, you're gonna piss off The Rock. I'm not going to piss off The Rock.
You know what?
Too many people have done that and not survived.
I want an accessible version of that. There's that math problem, like all these weird clocks. There's the one that's the puzzle. Maybe that would work just fine. It's the one that'll break itself into a bunch of pieces.
Oh, really? And then you have to put it back together. You have to
put it back together for it to stop.
Oof. Is that kind of like the Cortana thing where people set the alarm and they couldn't get it to stop on Windows 10? Is that very similar to?
Yeah. I could. Yeah, okay. Oh, I still don't know how to do that.
I meant to play around with that. I haven't either. Watch it to be something that you have to do with the touchscreen.
In the making. Yeah, no, I'm sure there's got to be a hotkey or something.
So that app is available for iOS and Android. If you are a WWE fan or a Fast and the Furious fan or just a big fan of Dwayne, you can go and get that app and have The Rock motivate you in the morning to wake up.
Is it available for Apple Watch?
I do not know. I would have to look at the app to see if it has a little flag that lets me know that it is Apple Watch compatible.
Probably is it available for
Apple TV, Watch? Right?
No, the Apple Watch. Is it available for the Apple Watch running Windows 95?
Say what?
What? Yeah, this one's been floating all over. You may have seen this story. Some really, really, really bored person somehow took Windows 95 and now has it running on his glorious hi-fi Apple Watch.
That seems right. Microsoft was first with that kind of smartwatch. Remember the old Microsoft watch that would actually get you your email and it would actually demonstrate weather and time?
I could see Microsoft Bob on a smartwatch. That can be kind of interesting, and that's a really obscure reference.
Running with Encarta, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. So you have...
You can, yeah, there was the paint. Old MSN watch years and years and years ago, the same way, you know, that a lot of innovations have come back and forth between the two companies. But Windows 95, start me up Rolling Stones on an Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's as close as I'm going to get is to load the song.
I think 95 had very limited touch support, but yeah, I guess. Wow.
And by limited, you mean none?
Yeah, hard to say because there were some ATMs that
maybe by OSR 2
Windows 95. Well, your that warp. Was, yeah, there was OS 2 warp, but
no
yeah,
OSR 2. It was the 95. It was like what they call now service packs. There was that update.
Oh, to Windows right. Well, yeah, because that's actually how we got Windows 95C with USB support. No, I you're right. I remember that. That was in the later versions of Windows 95.
Apologies to anyone under 30 who has no idea what the heck we're talking about.
Sorry about that, guys. This can happen. By the way, you might have heard that Larry Skukon has a new operating system coming out. It's great.
Is it someone has Nintendo on the Apple Watch?
Yeah, someone has done a Nintendo emulator on the Apple Watch. There have been a couple of Apple Watch projects. Someone had Doom running on it, which I think is kind of funny. There was an article that I saw earlier this week that said that the average web page is now the size of the original Doom for PC. And yeah, that was kind of
you have crazy. Web pages that you couldn't fit on a floppy. Yeah, like pages, not sites, pages. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm going to throw out there $100 bounty, $100 bounty to anyone who can create a Braille and Speak emulator. Ready, set, go.
for the Apple Watch.
It's, I don't care what it runs on, anything but the Braille speak. Get it to run on the computer or something.
Hey,
be awesome.
Humanware already got KeySoft on an Android device for you. So, I mean, it is possible.
That's true. When Tyler's listening, I may have to pay up.
I have a friend who loves Keynote companions. This will be interesting to see. We'll be all over
Josh
that.
Josh is always throwing in his classifiers looking for some archaic synthesizer from 1984.
It's entirely possible. You never know what shows up in a search. You know, Freedom Scientific had the Opticon manuals up there for the longest time on the website. And that was your white whale for a long time.
Yeah. Actually, I need to figure out what to do with those. They're sort of sitting around here.
That is true.
Keep it or sell it or barn it. I don't know. Maybe I'll decide.
That LED screen. Oh, that LED screen was so awesome. There is more horrible audio from us on old tech, believe it or not. If you just go back through the Blind Bargains archives, which you certainly should do if you're looking for some CSUN retrofitting articles from, 2010 and the like. Got a lot of audio up there. This is actually our 420th piece of audio landing on the audio page.
Dude.
Head on over to blindbargains.com to be able to hear this and more.
All 419 other pieces of audio there all over on all of our feeds, whether you're listening to us on Google Play, the podcast there, on TuneIn, on the Echo, on iTunes. We do appreciate it. Thanks for rating us everywhere as well. And we really do appreciate that. You can email us at feedback@blindbargains.com. You can go to the show notes for any of these shows. If you're listening on a Victor stream or something like that, go to blindbargains.com and go to audio, which is one of the second or third heading, the third heading down the screen. And there you'll find the latest podcast. You can leave a comment for us on any of the shows. You can tweet us at Blind Bargains. Or, of course, if you want to get some AT Guys stuff as we get towards the summer, you can go to atguys.com, 269-216-4798, where we're going to be in Utah. Well, that'll be about done by the time this show goes out. So hello, Provo, Utah. Then Visions Ann Arbor, May 11th, and Chicago, Illinois, the Blast Conference. This is the Blind Merchants Conference. That is the week following. The exhibits are May 18th. So a lot more coming up.
Yeah, definitely. And then, of course, like we said, we've got Minnesota and Orlando in July. So there's still a lot of things to happen between now and then, being that of Google I.O., WWDC, and then whatever the hell ends up at the video game conference E3 as more people are pulling out of that and doing their own kind of shows. Will we hear more about the new, there's a new possible Microsoft console for the Xbox One. There's a possible new upgrade for the PS4. And Nintendo last week announced that they will release the NX, a new console that will put the death knell to the Wii this Christmas. So in video game news, we got a lot going on as well. And Able Gamers guys were over at the White House this morning, which was kind of neat. Been following Steve Spohn and those guys for a long time, and it was neat to interview them at the other place and have a long conversation with them. And now, dude, they're at the White House. That is
wow.
That is crazy. Matt May and them, we know more people have been to the White House. I mean, I went as a tourist, but I mean, these guys are going for like work-related stuff. So that is impressive. Good God. Way to go, guys.
That's
super,
awesome.
Super awesome.
And at some point, Joe's going to have his new video game podcast spinoff.
Hey, I started that with Ian. You saw her where we were going.
That's true.
The way, the numbers for CSUN have been amazing, about 20% higher than last year. You guys have been going around telling your friends and neighbors about our audio, and we do see it in the numbers, and we appreciate that. Please, when you're going around telling individuals about our show, tweet them the links or give them the links so they can go to the website and get that audio themselves, because we do track, and that stuff does go to our sponsors. And that's how we're able to bring you all this amazing audio, is by having people know that they've gotten the audio from us by going to our website so we can track it, so we can show them accurate numbers of our listenership. Larger listenership means more sponsorships, which means more crazy audio, like Jay putting phones in the shower.
Oh, no, just one phone in the
just
show.
One?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you so all much. Right. Thanks, Shelly, belatedly, because she ended up in this podcast and she didn't even realize it. But
and AFB for sponsoring, yes. Sort of unknowingly.
Yes, one more season, and then I think that's it. I promise you. I don't
think there's anything else left in the mattress. I looked, there's that bar maybe. In the in that sofa bed.
Something may pop up in the end of December, though.
Ooh.
There is that.
That is true. That does seem to be the time where hidden audio does
you never know.
Show up to make us more embarrassed than we are each week doing this particular show. So That does happen.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Patrick Perdue, for making this sound halfway decent, if not, well,
a lot better than with the actual
making
raw
it feed. Sound like
as some of you might have found out last week. So yeah, things do happen.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks for listening. And who knows what's coming up next week? We will hope and cross our fingers for the news pile. Have a great week, everybody.
Goodbye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.